Thursday, July 5th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 42. This week we're a little American-centric, because it's the July 4th week, and so we deal with American themes. Hot dogs, fireworks, and the VH1 show Best Week Ever. Yeah, it's about celebrities and making fun of the way we look at pop culture, but hey, there's nothing more American than making fun of ourselves.
Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we want to say hello to everybody out there. And
happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to the Americans, to the British. Sorry. Yeah.
Our bad.
Our bad. We had nothing to do with it. I mean, we're here and it happened and that's that. But we want to say happy 4th of July. And before we start talking a little bit about the show, I just wanted to say a couple things to some of our new listeners, Clea. We had a couple of new listeners who came in. One was Cravette, who came to talk about Dungeon Twister and said that we had done a very good review, or a very good speak, as he put it, about Dungeon Twister. So that was cool. We appreciate that. And we hope that he will stick around. Or she. I guess it could be a she. He or she. And then the other person who left a comment, who I believe was also French, if I'm not mistaken, was, and I have no idea how to pronounce this, Kalinque, who also wrote a very good review and good speak about Dungeon Twister. So we got a lot of people who checked us out from Fantasy Flight Games and a little bit from Super Mario and apparently a lot of people from Dungeon Twister. So you people are dedicated and we want to say hello. And
yeah, we need to put more stuff on Paper Mario boards because so far everyone we got was pretty much from Descent.
From Dungeon Twister. We got a lot of people looking from the Descent boards, but
comments, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So what's up with the Paper Mario people? Are people just quiet? Are you the silent majority? Huh?
Well, I guess you didn't... I don't think you posted enough on, like, Paper Mario fan sites. I think you did mainly just, like, on the Wii stuff.
Okay, so I need to go find...
No one goes to the Wii site. I mean, really,
correct. Really? It's not like we do.
All right, let's get to this episode. We've got some good stuff.
So welcome into the family, and hello to all of our usual listeners. And because we're recording this on Thursday, which is July 5th, Clea and I thought that it made sense to do sort of a 4th of July themed show. But since we didn't necessarily want to review just the 4th of July as a holiday altogether this time around, we decided that they would review some aspects of Americana, I guess we'd say. And so two of these things will be specifically, I mean, not only American, but they sort of have a lot of American, you know, credentials, let's say. They're very American oriented. And then the third thing is not necessarily related to it, but in a way, it's a show
it's
about
Americana.
Stuff that could only happen in America, I guess you would say. So we're going to start by reviewing hot dogs. We're going to talk about
the history
and the legends of hot dogs. If you're a vegetarian, then just think of us as talking about soy dogs or veggie dogs or something of that kind, if you like. And if you're also not a vegetarian, then I don't know how you're still living because you can't eat meat or vegetables. So I don't know. What do we do about those people?
They usually don't live long enough. So
okay.
We usually just... move on.
So, I hope you had a good time on the planet. That's basically what we say. Okay. And then second, we're going to be reviewing fireworks. And we want to review both the sort of professional fireworks that you would watch, typically like in a 4th of July, for example, and also the home fireworks, the ones that you can put together and set up and do like that. So that's the second thing that we're going to do is talk about fireworks. And then third and finally, we're going to talk about Best Week Ever, which is a show that you can find on VH1. It's a show which Clea in particular likes. And as we said, it's really about sort of American celebrity American happenings and things like that, and so we thought it was worth talking about because
yes.
It's American related.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and for those of you, by the way, who don't think, you know, normally we try not to be American-centric, but it is the 4th of July to just pass, so we figured it made some sense. Okay? And you can all look in and sort of make comments about Americans talking about America, too.
Yeah, feel free.
If you want. Yeah, right now. We'll give you a moment to do that. Okay, so we're going to start by talking about hot dogs.
Hot dogs!
And what Clea has found here for a webpage, which I really admire that she's done, is it's called whatscookingamerica.net/history/hotdog. So you can find it at whatscookingamerica.net/history/hotdog. And this basically talks about the beginning of hot dogs. Okay, now it says that hot dogs first were created in 9th century BC. I do not believe this.
It's kind of like the ancestor of the hot dog is the sausage.
The sausage has been around
for a long time.
Oh, this is Homer's Odyssey. As when a man besides a great fire has filled a sausage with fat and blood and turns it this way and that and is very eager to get it quickly roasted. That is the glory of the sausage.
Homer, a man.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I made up that last part, but otherwise.
Oh.
So he did that. And then apparently, Emperor Nero's cook is often credited with discovering the first sausage.
Nero. Okay.
And then the 7th century. And then I just like to point out, there are people who actually follow this. There are people like, you know what? I wonder what the history of the hot dog is. And they went to find the history of the hot dog.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody knows that a hot dog is made from pigs. And
pig parts, basically. Although in America, there's a big thing for beef franks.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess I should say hot dogs can also be called Franks.
Right.
Is that English?
Franks?
Franks and beans?
Or Frankfurters?
Frankfurters?
I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine it could be.
What are they call it something else when it's like...
Well, see, Austria, it says bangers and mash. Bangers is sausage, though. Bangers is really sausage. Austria claims, see, the Frankfurter was supposedly developed in Frankfurt, Germany,
right.
It says. And so in 1987, the city of Frankfurt celebrated the 500th birthday of the hot dog.
Nice.
And, you know, I guess I'd be willing to believe that. So for those of you listening to us from Germany,
welcome
and good job on the hot dogs.
Thanks a lot. Props to you.
So props to you.
There was a store, a chain in the Seattle area called Frankfurters.
Oh, yeah?
It had the best hot dogs. They were like sausages, yeah. I guess sausage hot dogs. And they would make them, the bun was a really nice like French roll. And
yeah.
They'd have all these fixings that you could put on it. And one thing that I think is really great in America about the hot dog is, and I'm sure this is elsewhere in the world, you can see in our Norway video, actually, that we eat a wiener. And they have it in kind of a
pita. Wasn't it a pita that was wrapped up?
Yeah.
Well, there's pigs in blankets, too, you know.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like a hot dog or sausage wrapped in a pancake.
And there's corn dogs. But in America, there was actually a few shows on Cookie Network and stuff like that
yeah.
talked about all the different ways in America you could get a hot dog, like what they put on it, depending upon what area of the country you're in.
Right. And, of course, it's also associated most famously with baseball games. It's the kind of thing
right.
you always get a hot dog when you go to a baseball game. We just got through with this hot dog eating contest, which has become very... Now, I have to say...
Oh, America won. America beat
yeah,
Japan.
Yeah, well, you know, there were a couple people announcing that who were like, this is one of the greatest moments in American sports history.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Let me just make this clear. People who are stuffing their face with hot dogs and for which there's an official term for throwing them back up, they call that reversal. I was like, no, this is disgusting.
I don't think that's a sport.
It's not a sport. They call it a competitive eating. The guy who won it was this thin guy, and he was from Japan. And he had won it 6 years in a row, and
yeah.
he was like this phenomenon.
But he had a jaw injury.
I mean, I'm sorry. No, please. And the other thing about it that I find, just for a minute, if I can get serious, I do think there's a little something sort of that describes the problem with American excess when you have people seeing how much you can cram into your face at one time. You should not be cramming hot dogs. You should be savoring them, especially because these are Nathan's hot dogs that they're eating. Now, those are my favorite
Nathan's.
And Nathan's hot dogs are crisp. You know, D.I. will be able to comment about this because D.I. actually lives in New York. Nathan's hot dogs, man, those are really awesome. And the fries they make are these special waffle cut fries. Those are good, too. So hot dogs are really something special. And you don't want to just be cramming them down your face to see how many you can eat
if you
think about them associated with baseball games and stuff like that. Now, you like when you get fixings. See, for me, I'm basically just a ketchup guy. And I can maybe get a little bit of relish now and again. But I really I don't like
German
mustard
roots come out with me when I eat a hot dog. I like the sour. But I'm really big on condiments.
Okay.
Like, I can respect a good steak or good piece of meat or good pretty much anything. But really, if I can slather it in sauce or ketchup or hot sauce or relish or pickles or
hot fudge.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, if it's ice cream, yes. So when I get a hot dog, yeah, I like to put. We told you before when we went to Seattle, when Greg went to Seattle, he had to go to all of the different food places in Seattle. And one of the places we had to take him was Old Boy Roberto's,
mm-hmm.
which makes homemade sausage. And they actually ship them all over America, as you might see. Some people know Roberto's. It's originally from Seattle, of course. And there you can get the hot dog and you can put everything you want on it. So you can put sauerkraut and relish mm-hmm. and ketchup and mustard. And so I would really like to go to one of these places. Like, I think Chicago is really famous for putting like all this cool stuff on their hot dog.
And there's the chili dog, which is also pretty well known. I guess that's more of a southern thing. I mean, to me, my question would be, you know, the only issue I have with hot dogs is, and I really prefer hamburgers, although I do like hot dogs a lot. But it seems to me that hot dogs could be very variable. You know, there's some foods you eat and they're pretty much always good. Like, it's hard to screw up a hot fudge sundae, right? But you can have bad hot dogs. I mean, I've had hot dogs that you're just like, what is this? So you need to make sure that you have good quality hot dogs and, you know, ones that really sort of fit the bill. That means not a lot of fillers, and you try to avoid kind of,
like,
you
usually,
know, the high school cafeteria hot dogs you used to have? You don't want that. You want the Nathan's.
Well, I would
kind,
say, yeah, actually, when it's more when you go abroad. It's like when you go to England and stuff like that. Don't eat the sausages.
There are some people who say don't eat anything when you go to England.
Well,
if there are British listeners, I don't know if that's true. I know
that
tea time is wonderful, but I've heard rumors about bad stuff.
I love
on the food.
Tea.
I don't know if that's true.
But yeah, I mean, it's all in what the fillers are, because hot dogs, you know, it's got nitrates, it has salt in it, so it's hard for it not
exactly
taste
a health
good.
Food.
It's hard for it to not taste good with that kind of stuff in it. But yeah, if it's a lot of filler and not much meat product, then
right.
And then obviously the more actual meat and less meat product of, like, you
right,
know, lips
better.
And skin and all the other stuff that they put in it that you can avoid.
All the vegetarians are like, click. So what about, have you ever had, like, because I've had, I think, a couple soy dogs, which were, oh, I've had a tofu dog. See, the problem with tofu dogs and things like that is it's like a tofurkey. It's like, don't fool me. Like, I'll have tofu if you give me the block of tofu.
Some people like it. I think
don't
the issue,
fake me out.
I think,
you know,
the issue with the tofu dog, although there might be some good ones out there, is like what Greg was talking about, like a good hot dog. There's a bite crisp to the outside, and then you break into it, and it has the nice meaty inside.
Right.
Tofu, it's all smush. It's all one consistency. And I
you
think
want bite, not smush. Ready? After us. Bite, not smush.
Right. Okay. There you go.
So what do you want to rate the hot dog?
You know, the hot dog is pretty awesome. You know, you can hold it one hand. You can eat it. It's good
it's
anywhere.
Portable food, yeah.
But it's not overly good for you.
True.
So I was thinking kind of a 5 or a 6.
Wow. After you went on about how
I love them. I love them, but they're so
5 or 6. Yeah, they really are not good for you. It's true. Let's say a 6.
Okay.
All right. So a 6 for the hot dog. Get one. And if you're vegetarian, please let us know which is the best substitute. So
yeah, that would be good, because maybe there's a really good
like
one out there. You can let us know.
We have veggie burgers sometimes. Those are good. So
yeah, we have veggie burgers in the fridge right now.
That's right. So find out and let us know. Okay, next on the docket is fireworks, and
usually Greg is the one to, it seems like in the past you've every once in a while had to make a disclaimer. I have to make a disclaimer when we talk about fireworks.
Yes, then that's, what's the disclaimer?
The disclaimer is that my father is a lobbyist, as I think I might have mentioned, and one of the major companies that he lobbies for is fireworks. He lobbies for fireworks.
My name is Bias.
So
I work on the second floor.
My father has written majority of the legislation keeping fireworks legal in a number of different states.
If you live in New England and you were like me, where fireworks disappeared as a kid and now it's come back, that's thanks to him.
That's my dad.
Basically.
Like Connecticut now has, you can buy fireworks again. That's my dad. And he's been working down in Pennsylvania a lot lately and Rhode Island and stuff like that. And he's been in Connecticut and California, Hawaii.
We should make a distinction between these two things. I think we want to focus on the home fireworks, but I just want to make a comment first about professional fireworks. I have always liked professional fireworks, and oddly, yesterday... Professional fireworks shows. So, oddly, yesterday, we didn't go see a show. I like fireworks. Clea is not as big a fan, because she's seen a lot of them and whatever. And I've seen fireworks a good deal, but I still like them a lot. And we didn't go yesterday, because it was in the middle of the week, and it was just a very strange time to have the 4th, so we ended up not going. But I wanted to just sort of put on record that I have always liked professional fireworks shows, and I like watching them, and there's something about being out, you know, it's late at night and you're with a bunch of people and it's just beautiful to sit back and watch and you get the sound, and so I am a fan
of the fireworks
shows.
Were the fireworks canceled last night?
I don't think so.
I thought
so,
I had seen something in the newspaper that maybe they got canceled.
Really? No.
But anyway, yes. So there's the fireworks displays and shows, which are in America. Individuals can get permits and have them. Sometimes they do them for weddings or special occasions, birthdays or something like that if you're rich. And then there's also the major displays that are hosted by particular companies, like the one in New York on Wednesday yesterday was hosted this year by Macy's. And so usually different companies, of course, because of work, corporate America, will host different displays for different events. And they can vary in amounts of size and length and whether or not they go to music and all that kind of stuff. Then there's the home fireworks, where depending upon the legislation in the state, you're either able to buy or not buy, or you're able to buy certain ones at certain times. And then there's also legislation around when and where you can set them off and for how long.
I'm always amused by the places where it's legal to buy them but not to own them.
Yes.
Or legal to own them but not to buy them, which I just find hysterical.
Yes.
And so I remember when I was a kid going down after they became illegal in Connecticut and going down sometimes with my cousin down into D.C.
Right.
And where you could pick up fireworks and then come back and set them off.
Right.
And I should say, by the way, that there's a, I'm not going to give you the whole website, but if you do a Google for the history of fireworks, there's a website called The Chemistry and the History of Fireworks. And this is a Chinese creation, if you're not already aware, that probably about 2,000 years ago,
majority
China
of fireworks
put them
together. Components or the actual product come out of China.
Or come out of China, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think is, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the controversy with fireworks in a second, but the cool thing about home fireworks is that, to me, it's always something that uniquely I looked forward to as a kid. I mean, I looked forward to seeing what all of them did, you know, like especially like the cones or the tubes where you would set it off and then you'd watch, and first you'd have little sparklers and then you'd have little, like, a fountain, and then you'd have like these little, you know, things that went off, and or when people would set off bottle rockets and things like that. I always liked that. I mean, I was a kid who loved model rockets too, so I would, you know, build model
those
rockets and
fireworks.
Send them off. I know they're not fireworks, but I'm just saying, like, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but just
so
I'm my father's daughter, I wouldn't be able to let that go. You know, I had to.
Yes. That's right. yes. Thank you for the notation. Yes. So I used to like doing all that stuff, and I enjoyed always setting off fireworks. And they went away. I was kind of like, you know, that's too bad. And so I have always kind of liked fireworks. The problem, of course, and many people have talked about this, is that fireworks are associated now with two risks. One risk is one that we didn't talk about much when I was a kid, and that was about the risk of fire.
Mm-hmm.
With the increase in global warming, and with especially out west and in the southwest, a lot of communities have started banning them because of how dry it is, you know, because of the danger of wildfires and things like that. The second risk is the danger of harm to oneself. Now, if you, you know, talk to Clea's father about it, he'll tell you that there are ways to make it safe and sane, and that you should be using them with care.
My father
created
the term safe and sane fireworks. The concept is that there's, when I interrupted Greg earlier, there are, when we talk of what most people think of fireworks, there's actually two categories. There's fireworks, which are legal, and then there's firecrackers, which are not legal. And there are also some fireworks that are not legal, that are not safe and sane, i.e. they're not fitting regulations that are required. And in Washington State, where I grew up, this can be a huge problem, because certain counties or cities will ban fireworks, but we have a number of Native American reservations throughout the state, and they can do whatever they want. So people will go to the reservations, buy unregulated fireworks and firecrackers, which have no safety regulations and therefore are a safety risk, and then set those off. When if you hadn't banned them, then maybe the people wouldn't be going to those reservations and would be buying safe and sane fireworks and presumably not be having the hazard. That's the argumentation.
Now, that said, I mean, there are a number of people who have said that even the regulated fireworks are dangerous, and why do you need them? You know, why? And I'm actually reminded a couple of years ago when we were spending, I think it was New Year's in Seattle, and, you know, your father was setting off some things. There was another person, if you remember, at that party that we were at that was being stupid about the way that he set them off, you know, throwing cherry bombs all over the place and doing all this stuff that was dangerous. And so now you could argue, well, I mean, that's just somebody being stupid. That's his own fault. But the point is, you know, fireworks appeal to people like myself when I was a kid.
Kids.
Where we used to do stupid things like, you know, use a Lysol can as a flamethrower. That was really, really dumb. But that's what really, really dumb 13-year-old boys do. What can I tell you? And so there is the danger that this becomes kind of an attractive nuisance. On the other hand, I do understand the theory behind, you know, of things that are out there, this is one of the sort of less risky things to have there. I mean, I'm very strongly in favor of very strong, powerful gun control. And fireworks, I think, you don't run around trying to kill people with bottle rockets. You know, they're designed for entertainment. And so there's
bottle
a difference between...
firecrackers.
Right. And so I think there's a difference between something which is deliberately intended to cause harm, like guns, and something which is intended to cause entertainment, which in the wrong hands, misused, can be dangerous. And so I don't necessarily have a problem with fireworks being, you know, being out there if they are regulated carefully. So
exactly, because it is the unregulated fireworks and firecrackers that cause the injuries, not the safe and sane. But that's the problem, is that everyone clumps them together in their mind. So the actual main reason of why cities and states mainly will ban is the fire department. Depending upon whether or not your fire marshal likes fireworks or not, they will usually play a large role mm-hmm. in the legislation of banning them due to the fire hazard. And again, that is mainly due to firecrackers and unsafe, unregulated fireworks, but they want to just ban it across the board so they can try to just keep it consistent and regulate it in that way. And so every year, my dad is like interviewed, and every year they say, oh, is it going to rain, or it's always dry, and everyone's worried and risky, and then every year it works out okay, and
yeah,
he gets vindicated every year.
I mean, frankly, it's just as dangerous to have people wandering off into the wild and then leaving unattended campfires as it is random people going off and setting off fireworks.
Right.
I mean, many more wildfires, especially in the Southwest, are created by careless campers.
Right.
That's where you get all that Smokey the Bear and all that stuff where, you know, Smokey says, you know, only you can prevent forest fires. And that's said to campers, not people wandering around with firecrackers. So, you know,
Smokey the Bear is an American thing. What did we hear that in Europe it's like a frog or something?
Is it really? Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah. I don't remember
where I heard that.
The fire frog, and only you can prevent. Anyway, so what do you want to say then for? I mean, on the professional fireworks show thing, I would say that for me is like a 6 or a 7. I assume you would say more a 6 because you don't really.
No, I mean, a lot of people like it. They can be a 7. They can
so
be
for a 7
quite
for professional
amazing.
Fireworks.
And what they can do now is gotten quite amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. It's wild. What about home fireworks?
I would give that a 6.
Okay. Because of the safety risk or the, you know, people not being able to use it safely? Or
just about the fact that a lot of Americans are stupid.
Great. So we'd like to give basically everything, if we could. Like, just drop 3 points off because we're dumb. Okay? We're dumb. 3 points off. Thank you.
If there's an American factor in there, we have to take 3 points off.
Like, if this is only being listened to, like, in Australia, you know, like Bernadette and Tim, you know, you guys would be, like, probably an 8, right?
Yeah, you'd probably
but
be an
here,
8.
But here, it'd be a 6.
Okay. I have to tell the story, though, of that I always love to tell about fireworks, because, yes, every year my father would get all these free fire. He can still get all these free fireworks. And so we would always do little shows when I was growing up in our neighborhood in this little area on the street. And, of course, right next door to us was this old lady with these two small little yippy dogs. And it was like any old woman's worst nightmare to live next to my father, because every year he'd do these big firework displays, like for a couple hours, and every year she'd come out and say, I'm going to call the police. And my dad would say, I know the regulations. I wrote the legislation. I know the police chief. I know the fire chief. Go ahead, make my day. And it's just like the worst.
Which is really what I love is that your father was so neighborly about that. That was the best part. Is your dad was like, rather than being like, oh, I'm so sorry I disturbed you, he's like, make my day. Have a bottle rocket.
No, not bottle rockets. Those are firecrackers.
Oh, I beg your pardon. But have a sparkler.
That's my dad.
Okay. Well, that's good. So what did we say? So a 7 out of 10. Did we say a 6 or 7? We said a 7 out of 10 for professional fireworks and a 6 out of 10 for home fireworks. Okay. Last on the docket for tonight is Best Week Ever. And this is a show which is on VH1, which used to actually have videos. And now, like, MTV has no videos at all because, I don't know. And
no,
so basically what it is once a week, this show comes on, and it sort of is a review of things that have happened, I guess a little bit in the world, but mostly in America, American TV, American celebrity, American internet
politics.
Stuff and things like that. And Clea has watched this, you know, much more than I have, so she can comment about it more than me, but I have seen it several times. So
I record it on our Replay TV every week. What I like it is because I don't watch a lot of television shows. I don't watch a lot of news. And as many of you know, I am an aspiring comic. And so you do need to stay on top of kind of American pop culture. And also just kind of, you know, it's a funny show. So it's a bunch of comedians reviewing a bunch of things that are happening in America. And so I watch it once a week because it kind of is like a little mini compilation of all the things that happened in pop culture that week. And it's quite funny. And it moves right along, and it does cram in quite a bit. And it can also make some interesting statements. You know, it is a little bit kind of Daily Show with respect to some of the politics and some of the views of pop culture that it expresses. But mainly overall, it's a bunch of stand-up comedians that are interviewed about different things that are happening in pop culture. And then they have a few things this season. They have a few things that they kind of do now. They have the Sizzler that comes every time. Now they've made it a little more kind of like a news report as the Sizzler. So they have changed over the last couple of seasons to try to make it a little more professional, that kind of stuff. But what, you're reading something?
I'm just reading some of the Alvin and the Chipmunks. Why are the Chipmunks so gangsta? It's this new website. It's on their website where they're talking about things that happened. It's become an event, though, for comedians. It's sort of like, you know, when we go to Broadway shows, Clea and I will often talk about the fact that everyone in the world has Law and Order as one of the credits. I think every comedian like wants to try to get on to do like a little thing on
well,
Best Week Ever. I know they have regulars
now. Yeah. And a lot of I've seen a few of them in New York, actually, because a few of them, I guess, are New York regulars. Like, I remember that one night I was performing at Broadway Comedy Club, two of them performing downstairs.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they're legitimate comedians, and I think quite funny.
Yeah, my thing about it is, I mean, there are times when the jokes can be sort of obvious to me. I mean, where it's kind of like, it's not always 100% hit. And, of course, the other problem is that they are making fun of, it's one of those things where it's funny, but it's sort of sad at the same time, because they're making fun of, the reason they can make fun of it is because it's so absolutely ridiculous that whoever is doing whatever that they're doing, you know, whether it's Britney or Paris Hilton.
Yeah,
or I mean, it's like this obsession with American celebrity
like,
is like,
oh my God.
Yeah. But I mean, that's not their fault. I mean, they laugh at the comedy that's there to laugh at.
You know, when you're surrounded by pop culture, it's also kind of refreshing to have someone poking fun at it.
That's true.
So that's...
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And it's certainly better than some people in my academic field, which is to try to elevate it to the status of, you know, pop culture as being something valuable. In fact, I have to say, you know, my chairman is actually someone who does a lot of stuff with pop culture. But there, Tom is combining it with, like, rock music and folk music and stuff that really speaks about stuff that has some kind of artistic value, rather than just saying, you know, let's look at, you know, Britney Spears or Paris Hilton's jail time, and then somehow that has some academic worth, which I don't think it does. So I'd rather have people, in other words, making fun of it than writing articles of it. I think that's basically my point. And of course, the other thing about Best Week Ever, I don't know if there's really a liberal political spin. I don't think so. I think it's just kind of a spin on, because they make fun of Al Gore and other people that sort of, Michael Moore and people that are theoretically on the left side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I would say there's less
of
a liberal spin than there is an obvious, you know, liberal spin on The Daily Show.
Right.
They're a little bit more even-handed.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and they also talk about movies. The other thing is that it can sometimes catch you up, as Clea says, on things that you wouldn't otherwise see.
Right.
So that sometimes they'll show, like Clea was telling me, I'm going to have to post a link to this on the site. I just found earlier today this thing called Dramatic Prairie Dog.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
I guess everybody knows about it. Yeah. I had never heard it before. It is hysterical. But you said that they showed it on Best Week Ever, and that's where you had seen it the first time, which is this picture of a prairie dog just staring at the screen. It's like, da-da!
They're always on top of
so they're on top of this stuff, right?
Are.
So that's kind of neat. And I guess there was a spinoff, which was that internet show, right? The best internet junk show, or
I think
the best
that was
junk on the internet.
Yeah, I think that was a spinoff.
Wasn't
the best
spin-off,
junk on the internet. I don't know if that show's still going on.
No, but anyway, so it's kind of interesting that they worked on that. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's reasonably funny. As I say, not hysterical, but you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say, rating wise?
8.
Wow, an 8, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit uneven for that. I think it's more like in the 7 range.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't find it as uneven as you do, but 7's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I would say a 7. Oh, look, see? There's a picture of the prairie rug right there. I was just looking at it. They almost get an 8 just because they featured that thing,
oh
which
my
is
God,
great. Dramatic.
Greg.
So, all right. A 7 out of 10 for Best Week Ever. And by the way, you can find this at the website, www.bestweekever.tv. All right, that's going to do it for us for this week. We will see you guys next week with another show. Again, happy July 4th to everybody. Hope everyone is having a good time out there holiday-wise, whether you are in America or outside of it. And we will see all you wonderful people soon. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you soon.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.